It's showtime. Ba-da-ba-ba. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ba-da-ba-ba. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Podcasts are the best, except for when they're not. Come to think there's really just a handful that don't suck. And that's where we come in. Podcast reviews by Carl Goldberg, Commander, and Kevin. WATP. Who are these podcasts? WATP. Who likes these podcasts?
Not WATP.
Who makes these podcasts?
That one's beyond me.
Who are these podcasts? WATP.
Good to see you.
Normally, Carl would be on the Hall Financial Hotline, of course, but because of these possibilities, Zoom has brought us Carl. We can see Carl in his... Is that your basement, Carl?
It is. Wood-paneled basement.
Nice. Did you know Lollapalooza started this weekend?
I had no idea. I'm totally out of the loop.
Do you care that Lollapalooza is starting this weekend?
I like a lot of those bands.
Are you going to sit around your... Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to sit around your computer and watch it?
No, probably not. Wait, I like going to live shows. It's way more fun than watching your computer.
And Carl, you like going to a lot of live comedy, too, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Well, you know, you've reviewed The Fighter and the Kid on Who Are These Podcasts. You've reviewed Chris, is it D'Elia? Is that how you say his name?
Who cares, yeah. D'Elia.
Not terribly favorably, but I just wondered, do you know what's going on with Chris D'Elia? Because you do keep up with the comedy world.
Yeah, did you see that he got his show canceled? Which the guy from Fighter and the Kid was going to be on, Brian Callen. They were going to do a show called Pranksters or some kind of prank show.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great one.
Yeah, I think, isn't just about everything about him canceled? He hasn't done his podcast, I don't believe, since that happened.
Yeah, Chris D'Elia has been canceled from life. It sucks. I don't like Chris D'Elia. I don't think he's funny, but it's crazy that people just put out tweets and then people lose their livelihoods over it.
Yeah, it seems like there should be a better system. Although it didn't sound good. I didn't really like what I was reading. It sounded really creepy. But I bet you there's a lot of other creepy people just like him who are floating along. You know, young comedians, rock stars, like young girls, 16-year-old, 17-year-old. I think it's kind of a...
Yeah.
Who was I reading about? Iggy Pop was saying he was with Lori Maddox when she was 13 or something. I'm like, oh
jeez.
Yeah, Bowie did the same thing.
Yeah,
Bill
Bowie.
Wyman.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit of that.
There's people in the royal family, and this is well documented. That famous people like young girls.
Famous people like young girls.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And don't forget that some radio DJs like Mark Parenteau, they like little boys.
Mark,
sorry, Trudy.
Parenteau.
The second favorite. Day.
Yes, he did. Hey, speaking of DJs, last night people were sending me stuff about, I guess there was a story about Spotify talking to Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And you were talking about a rumor that Netflix is hot and heavy with Howard Stern. And I wonder, is there any betting lines on this yet? Or do we know, when does this contract, it's up pretty soon, isn't it?
It's up in December.
Yeah.
You hear anything, Carl?
I don't know anything about Spotify, but that makes a lot of sense, too. Of course, Howard's a brilliant negotiator, or at least his agent is.
He is.
And the thing you want to do when you're negotiating is get multiple parties involved. So if he's going to get another $400 million for a five-year contract where he works 2 days a week, it's a good idea to get Netflix and Spotify both involved, along with SiriusXM.
Yeah.
He has really played his cards masterfully, as evidenced by his, $90 million a year, I think he makes? Pretty good.
Sweet.
Okay, so we were talking about the Rob Lowe podcast because it just came flying out, and I knew, and you knew, it would be huge because he's a big name, and he doesn't have to do anything but talk to his friends, and it'll do big numbers. And in fact, it's ranked in the top 50, isn't it?
A couple of weeks ago, it was number 27 on Apple Podcasts. I looked today, and it's down to 40. Ooh. But that's very impressive.
That gives me hope, though. Podcasts. Maybe he can pass us going the other way it keeps going down. Oh, there's some other people. I thought Justin, who's the actor? Justin Long?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he would have passed us going backwards now because we're around 125, 110, somewhere in there. And he still seems to be in the top 75 and occasionally higher. So, I guess these names really can work for these people for a long time.
Well, this is the thing. So there's too many of these shows where it's a celebrity who's bored because they don't have anything to do. Mm-hmm. So they just start talking to their friends and they call it a podcast. And you pointed this out brilliantly. These people have no business podcasting. They don't know what they're doing. And what's interesting is if you look at the Apple rankings, these people are in the mix. They're high up. Spotify, Rob Lowe's not even in the top 200 on Spotify. I think you have a very different audience. I think the iTunes, the people who are into the Apple stuff are a little less sophisticated. They just see a name they like and they're like, oh, I'll listen to that. Whereas Spotify is probably more like the real podcast listeners.
Is that people a fact?
Into this genre.
And these are people, the people at Spotify, are most of them on iTunes or are a lot of them exclusive to Spotify?
That's a good question. Now, Spotify is starting to make them exclusive now.
Mm, interesting.
That's a good point.
Well, I tell you, this is a great world to be in for us and for who are these podcasts. It's just growing, growing, growing. I remember 2016. You started in 2016 too, didn't you, girl?
Yep.
Yeah, it was like, is this going to work? Are there enough people? And sure enough, people are just coming to the world of podcasting. So, and I think it's one of the reasons why your show does very well is because people are intrigued with podcasts and there's so many to know about. But where do you want to start with Rob Lowe?
All right. So I want to talk about, he's talking to Chris Pratt. This is his first episode. Now, he banked a bunch of episodes, so he's just putting them out slowly. I don't know when he recorded them, if it's in the same order as when he's putting them out. Probably not. Chris Pratt, one of the biggest Hollywood celebrities in the world right now, makes sense to be. You know, Michelle Obama just came out with her podcast yesterday. Guess who her first guest was?
Oh, Barack.
Yeah. Pretty good way to get out of the gate.
Tough get.
Oh, I'm sure she has some really hard questions. I know it'll be huge, I'm sure.
Why wouldn't you play that card when you start to podcast fade, then bring Barack in?
I agree.
That's a good point.
I don't think people think they're going to pod fade, but Biden sure pod faded fast.
Yeah, he did.
Wow, is that thing over? I bet he
that
just thought
that
was
a production mess from the beginning, though, and somebody who's running for president should have had a pretty good producer or at least a staff that should say, hey, listen, the things you're putting out is crap. But he didn't get that right away because we went through 3, 4, 5 of his episodes.
Yeah,
and
terrible.
We picked those apart.
By the way, I hear edits in Rob Lowe's podcast, which is pathetic. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. It is highly produced. And I have the credits that we'll play a little bit later to show you how many people are involved.
Oh, really?
In this mundane conversation between two people.
I've never heard of a podcast having a credits.
I haven't either.
It's interesting.
I mean, we honestly have more people involved in our show than almost anyone should.
I would agree, yeah.
But those people...
Shout out to Jim Bentley, by the way. It's my boy.
Yeah. Jimmy, are you following Jim on Twitter?
Of course.
Has he done anything?
Is he trolling you?
Funny lately?
Now that he's got a different job, I haven't seen him doing much trolling.
Wait till
he's past the
training stage.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, let's hear a clip of Rob Lowe.
Thank you.
And I will say this: the more I listened to the Rob Lowe podcast, the less I liked him.
Okay.
Which is not a good thing.
That's a good point. I wanted to tell you guys, I do like Rob Lowe. I think he's a funny guy. I just don't think he should be podcasting, and I'll point out why. I'll have a couple of examples here that we can talk about.
All right.
So we're going to start with track number 2 over there. The setup here is that Rob's impressed that Chris Pratt has a haircut because here they are in L.A. There's the lockdown. No one's getting haircuts. And Chris says his wife, Catherine, is the person who cut his hair. And it leads into this conversation, track 2.
Wait, who taught you? Did you go Google something? What happened?
Your wife taught me many, many years ago on your head when we were in Milan.
How to cut hair?
Yeah, she taught me.
That is riveting.
Whoa.
So this is interesting because he goes, how do you know how to cut hair? Your wife taught me when we were in Milan. I'm thinking, wait a second. So this sounds like either A, you should know that story, or B, you might want to dig into that. Wait, what are we doing, Milan? What's going on? Sounds interesting. Maybe you can get into a conversation. The next question he asks is track 3.
So I was laughing about the fact that you and Catherine were watching St. Elmo's Fire together the other night.
It was on.
It's kind of a non sequitur. I like the fact that that's a terribly relatable story, that someone's wife taught someone how to cut hair in Milan, Italy, when they were there. Terribly relatable.
They try to play out. They don't want to talk about how they're giant celebrities and multimillionaires. They try to just pretend like they're just, you know, Joe Q Public. And just,
yeah, your movie just came out.
Guys talking.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and now they're watching my movie that I'm in.
So this wasn't even a question. He goes, hey, I hear you're watching St. Almost Fire. It's like, let's make this about me immediately. He wants to make it about him.
Is that seems to be a trend, Carl, with celebrity podcasts, that it is all just about them and their work, because there's not much depth to a lot of celebrities.
No, they're not used to it not being about them. I have to tell you, the worst I've heard, and I don't know if you've listened to Chelsea Handler's podcast, Carl?
No. You couldn't pay me.
Really? You can't be paid for that? Because I was going to say, I think it'd be good for Who Are These Podcasts. All right. Everything comes back to her. And if it goes away from her, she quickly brings it back. I've never heard a case of whatever that is. It's the worst case I've ever
heard. It's narcissism. It's called narcissism, Drew.
It's really bad. She has it bad. All right. So bring us some more Rob Lowe.
2 minutes talking about St. Elmo's Fire, a movie that is 35 years old, and it's just nonstop kissing ass. Chris Pratt says this is number four.
That was the that movie really was made up of that generation. It defined that generation. There are movies like that happen every generation, and it's like, that was that Brat Pack. But of that whole group of actors at the top of their game in that time,
who's gonna be the best?
You were the one with the most charisma, and it was just, everyone was great, obviously, but
what an
no way. Give me Emilio Estevez all day.
Didn't see that coming, though. What an ass kiss. This is great. They're both filleting each other on this podcast. Yeah. Celebrity
so
fellatio.
Wouldn't you think that if you're Rob Lowe, you'd be like, oh, come on, whatever. Yes. It was a long time ago. Anyway, you're in this new movie, you know, something you would deflect, and you would try to like get a conversation going. Nope, this continues on. There's even more ass kissing, and Rob Lowe is lapping it up.
Oh no!
Play track five.
You know, physical attract. It was just an attraction. There's a charisma and attraction there. It was youth. It was like the youth, beautiful youth personified. It was really cool.
Joel Schumacher, the director, was very kind to me with the close-ups.
No one told me there was going to be boasting.
Oh,
God. Oh,
that's awful.
Bad.
I remember hearing that when I listened to it. I was kind
of
stunned.
Do you think some of this is an effect of them having, you know, their idea of an interview is, you know, like Entertainment Tonight talking to them, throwing them softballs to talk about their stupid work? Is that what it is?
Well, I don't think, Carl, correct me if you think I'm wrong, or Trudy or anybody. I don't think Rob Lowe is going to talk about rehab on this podcast, which would be interesting.
Wait a sec. He wrote a very good memoir. Remember his autobiography?
Yes.
He told a lot of good stories, but why can't he do that in the podcast version? Because does he think this is what an interview is supposed to be?
Well, he's not controlling it because there's another person, although Chris Pratt's not going to call him out. I don't think.
No, but I would think, seeing Rob Lowe and having, you know, read that book, that he'd be a little more, I don't know, he'd be able to talk about other things other than his work.
You want to talk about the sex tape or the nanny lawsuit?
Yeah. I mean, not that, but you would think there'd be more depth to him.
I would agree. I like Rob Lowe. I generally do. I mean, I feel kind of bad about this, but it's bad. Anyway, go ahead, Carl. What's next?
Yeah. So speaking of Rob Lowe being all about Rob Lowe, on track 8, he's talking about how he auditioned for Footloose. And I pulled this clip only because if I just play this in isolation, you would swear Rob Lowe was on the Chris Pratt podcast. Rob Lowe was just going on and on about his career. It makes no sense. Okay.
And the casting was going to be coming up. And so I started taking all these dance auditions. And I'm not like really a dancer or anything, but, you know, so they did a dance audition, not an acting audition, just a big dance audition at Paramount. I remember at a stage.
Whoa.
And all the actors auditioned together. And we all had to learn to dance to the Styx song, The Best of Times, of all songs.
How's that go? What's that song?
The Best of Times. I don't remember anything other than that.
Wow.
Ooh. Didn't he dance at the beginning of the Oscars one year?
Rob Lowe?
Yeah. Wasn't there an Oscars and Emmys that opened with some stupid, I swear to God, I don't think I'm crazy here. There's also
I don't remember his dance sequences.
No, I'm not really. It was only memorable because I think it, Trudy, you remember that?
I think I do. Yeah.
I mean,
I do
trashed.
Remember he did music, like a music series of musical.
Yeah, yeah. Of, it was a
synopsis
was something...
of yeah.
You're right.
Shows.
You're absolutely right.
What an unrelatable story, though.
Who was writing?
Little story. Chris Pratt is asking him questions now. It's completely flipped because he's going into this whole thing. It's all explanation. Oh yeah, then what happened? And then what happened? What's going on?
Did you bring any clips from him and Magic Johnson by chance?
I did not. I have some Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
Well, the Gwyneth Paltrow one's getting a lot of play because of the little blowjob story.
Yeah. Right. Magic Johnson is positively horrible. It's just them yucking it up about the old days when, you know, Rob was making sex tapes and Magic was getting AIDS. And I mean, they don't really get into that, but or Magic
Big Magic Johnson. What has he done?
All right. So you want to bring us some Gwyneth and Robbie?
Yeah. So this is funny because first question out of the gate, if you play track 15, now I've already shown that Rob likes to make things about him. This is his first question to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, man, I wonder what it is. It's going to be something about, is it going to be, hey, what was your favorite movie that I was in? Right, here it is.
How long have I known you?
How long have I known you?
How long have I known you?
Why are you asking someone how long you've known them?
Right, but it does. A normal person would say, "How long have we known
each other?" Yeah,
it does.
How long have we known each other? Like, then you could have a conversation. Oh, remember we met? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, "How long have you known me?"
Yeah,
I think there could be a strategy though. Doesn't set him up as the far more important person because you know he would have no idea how long they've known each other, but she would have actually recorded it in her mind because she's less important than him.
She's his guest, yes. Though.
I know. No, I'm not saying it makes sense.
Carl, how long have I known you? You see how awkward that is?
No, it's really
weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Whew.
He is good looking, though. You have to give him that.
He is. No, he absolutely is. It has been all about him.
I have a friend whose boss is a drug addict, and he would ask him questions like, do I know that guy over there? I was like, oh, how am I supposed to know who you know? I don't know.
That's great.
All right. So she answers that question, and that leads to her explaining how cool Rob is, which is what Rob wanted to have happen. Track 16.
Because, you know, Rob Lowe in the 90s was a dangerous and scintillating proposition.
Guess what he named this podcast episode? Dangerous and Scintillating.
Of course.
Which is descriptions of him on a show that's supposed to be about Gwyneth Paltrow.
Wow.
I'm
surprised at how bad Rob Lowe is at this.
I was too. Did you listen to one of his podcasts?
No. You would think he would have a host and he would be a co-host maybe.
A lot of these people honestly could use a host, which is kind of sad because it just brings in another body who tries to be paid. And isn't a podcast just an easy way to make a couple hundred grand for these guys?
Yeah. By the way, the first thing out of the gate, episode one is a State Farm read.
Oh, really?
What podcast is getting State Farm on their shows? I mean, that's got to be a huge deal, I would imagine.
Yeah. No, national deals, I'm sure they are. And
on his first show, I'd love to see the return on that investment.
So that's negotiated. He's never done an episode, and he's got a national buy.
Does Rob have a promo code? It's like statefarm.com, enter promo code Rob.
Scintillating.
Yeah, scintillating. No, the promo code would be his name, his full name, Rob Lowe.
I'm willing to bet there's no promo code. We have local people who've known us for 25 years, and we have promo codes. Yeah. Crying out loud.
I'd love to know.
No, we don't have promo codes with our local people.
I would just love to know how much they got back for what they spent on Rob Lowe's podcast.
Well, there's a lot of listeners. I mean, there certainly are a lot of people listening to this. So,
that's true. Yeah.
Okay. Anything more from Rob Lowe?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
I want to play a segment that I call Leading the Witness as well as a dumb question. This is track six.
Six, all right.
What was your favorite movie and TV show growing up? Were you like a $6 million man guy like me?
Like me? Why don't you just say, I love $6 million man when I grew up.
So I want to explain something. Chris Pratt is about my age. $6 million man wasn't even on television by the time Chris Pratt was born. I don't know why we'd assume. Chris Pratt's probably into the A-Team. That's what our generation like. Not the $6 million man.
Or the Dukes, man. It's come true. On.
Yeah, Dukes ahead.
So then he answers the question, This is going to be track 7. And Rob Lowe interrupts it to make it about him again.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
For television, a lot of after-school specials.
Oh, whoa, like, whoa, stop there. Have you seen my after-school specials?
Wait, I don't, maybe.
God.
You can't make this up.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
He's so less attractive now after hearing all this. Man, I'm he's hung you. Up on himself.
He then goes on to explain the entire plot of the after-school special he was on in 1982.
Oh, my God.
What was it about?
Just to make sure Chris Brett has seen it.
What was it about, Carl? I forgot.
Yeah, he was a 15-year-old in high school who got a girl pregnant.
Ooh.
Oh, well.
It was probably a true story then.
Yeah, art imitating life. Although she was 15 and he was, what, 30?
Well, in 86, I think he was. He was like 22 and the girl was 16, I think. God, that was such a big scandal.
And he got over it.
Yeah.
He got over it really well. That's what's insane about it. Would he be canceled forever today?
Yeah, now you'd be pretty, I think I'd be pretty bad. Plus, we'd see the video.
Well, we've seen the video.
Yeah.
It was kind of dark, wasn't it?
Yeah, not the best video.
All right. Well, Rob, great job. Okay.
I got a couple more clips.
Okay, bring it.
I think we got to get to. So
yeah, wrap it
he
up.
He starts off by selling us on this podcast we're about to listen to. And I'm always suspicious when the host tells me how amazing everything is all the time. Like, why are you selling this so hard? Play track one.
I just, I'm laughing at the title of this track is Amazing Journey. Which almost
sounds like The Bachelor.
The Bachelor, yeah.
This has just been an amazing, amazing new journey for me. This podcasting thing.
What pablum? What pablum is just nothing. That's nothing.
I want to point out, he calls this a journey. He's having conversations with his celebrity friends. Drew went from a high-profile radio gig to rebuilding from scratch an entire podcast network. He might be able to call this a journey. He might be actually justified in saying a journey. This guy's put out one episode. He's like, this has been an amazing journey.
You wonder how amazing it's really been for him, too.
You know, I hear this in a lot of people like Rob Lowe do podcasts. At first, they're a little nervous, and then they get so full of themselves so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first episode. It's incredible. He's just loving it because I think they're so used to reading a script and reading someone else's words and looking good and depending on those things. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is on me. But they have they're so full of themselves that they can't help but think, oh, wow, Me Unleashed is just fantastic.
Carl, how many episodes
has he done? I can't get enough of me.
How many total episodes has he done?
I think he's up to 6 now.
6.
Oh.
And cool. By the way, as soon as Hollywood reopens, this will end.
Yeah.
This is just something for them to do because they're bored out of their minds.
That's a great point, yeah.
Who else, what other guests is he
has? Why can't they help people? That's what I'm wondering.
Help people? No, they need to make money.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
What are you thinking?
Crazy.
It's not even about the money. They just need the exposure. They have to be out there promoting themselves and being heard. They're so important. So after the podcast, he talks about how much fun it was. So he told us it was going to be amazing. He told us it was going to be fun. And then Trek 12, he tells us it was fun.
Oh, that was so fun. This podcast thing's kind of fun. I'm kind of liking it.
Of course you liked it. You talk about how awesome you are and then tell your guests to tell you how awesome you are. That is fun. I agree.
And he doesn't have to worry about the sponsors. That's all done ahead of time. Somebody else deals with that. He probably barely knows who the sponsors are.
That to me kind of sounds like an awkward transition. Like he doesn't know what to say or where he's going. Like, just to say something is so fun because you're kind of searching for the next thing.
Have you read the description of this podcast online? Have you read it the way he's published it? So whenever you go to Apple, whenever you go to whatever podcast dealio that you use, you know, I don't even think we've even changed ours, so we don't have much to say. But it says here, literally with Rob Lowe, this is literally a podcast where people I love, admire, and know well will be in a safe space to let their hair down, assuming they have any. I will cover the thoughtful to the extremely random. So join me, my guests, and the world of movies, TV, sports, music, and culture for fun, wide-ranging, and freewheeling conversations.
About Rob Lowe.
Pretty much.
About literally. Rob Lowe.
So
that was his catchphrase. Because they have nothing to say. It's so boring. It's so vanilla. my track 11 is maybe the most boring thing anyone's ever said on a podcast.
Sometimes I'll watch a great movie and I'll know instantly it's great. Oh my God. And then there are times where I'll watch a movie and go, I love this movie so much, but not realize it's great. And not realize that I'm watching a movie that from now on, if I ever come across it on TV, I'm going to have to fucking watch the whole thing.
What?
Sometimes you watch movies that are great that he knows that are great, but he didn't know they were that great until later on.
Oh my God. What a dipshit.
That's really weird. And now, did you have some credits? Did you say, I want to hear the credits? I'm dying to hear the credits.
The credits are amazing. Track 14. Listen to how many people. Count how many people it takes to create this show.
I think it's the longest clip Carl sent over.
Really?
You have been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe.
Literally.
Produced and engineered by me, Devin Torrey Bryant. Executive produced by Rob Lowe for Low Profile. Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco. And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Stitcher. The supervising producer is Aaron Blaert. Talent producer, Jennifer Santos. Please rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts. And remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's nine people.
Full disclosure. I know Aaron Blaert.
Which one was he?
Ooh. He's worked for Conan, and he's now in charge. He did all his digital stuff. He's from Ann Arbor.
He does the video game stuff.
He does the video game stuff.
With Conan?
Yeah.
That's a good bit.
Yeah, I didn't know that Rob was part of the Conan O'Brien thing. I guess that makes sense because they're such buddies. But Conan knows how to talk to people.
It also makes sense when you look up the lineup. This looks like another one, and Carl has pointed this out over and over again where, let's see, he's had Chris Pratt, Magic Johnson, Conan O'Brien, Keegan-Michael Key, and Gwyneth Paltrow, Mike Myers. So essentially when these people want to have Rob Lowe on there, you know, it's kind of like a trade thing. They go, I'll go on yours, you go on mine.
Yeah. Have you listened to one he does with Conan by any chance, Carl?
I have not. Conan's interesting. He'll probably make it good.
That's what I agree. Really going to be more like Rob being on Conan's podcast, I'm going to guess.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
I just have one more thing that I want to play from this podcast and we can move on.
Bring it.
I picked up on something. There's a lack of vocabulary and there are certain words that he uses quite a bit. Now, this is a supercut from one episode that's about 45 minutes worth of talking. Almost everything they talk about is either fun, funny, or amazing. Track zero.
Oh, track zero. Where's track zero? Okay, here it is.
Amazing, amazing, fun.
Funny. It was really fun. Amazing. It was fun to watch. It was fun to be a part of.
Amazing.
Funny, fun, and funny, fun, fun.
Funny, 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 fun. Amazing,
amazing,
amazing, fun, fun, amazing.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
One of the things Carl and Who Are These Podcasts does really well are these cuts of crutch words that people say all the time. How quick into an episode do you realize that, oh, this person has a crutch and that they say this word and you're going to go back and pull them all? Do you realize
sometimes
that?
Sometimes it doesn't hit me until the very end and then I'm like, fuck, I got to go back. I got to go back and listen to the whole thing again.
Oh, I was laughing.
That's a lot of work.
Listening to the last episode with Brett Hatley and it was, or Brett, I don't know.
Brent. Yeah. Brent,
and,
I think.
And I think it's the guy that might do it with him, Jeff. But what did he keep talking? He kept talking about Maker's Mark.
And there
was
a whole
supercut of Maker's Mark. And it was weird. It was almost like he was plugging it.
Wait, Carl, you got into that, didn't you?
We talked about that because he was talking about Bush Light, Maker's Mark. And then they were talking about drinking breast milk, which is so gross.
Oh, that was disgusting.
And they kept saying from the tap.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I want that from the tap. From the tap. I want to get that from the tap. So, we got it.
So, do they really think that is really extremely relatable? I mean, of course, if you're trying to be outrageous, it's one thing. But, I mean, they're already swingers, so.
I think he's trying to be outrageous. And having listened to that episode that Carl did, it's like Brent is way more Bubba than he ever was Howard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would agree.
Just going for the shot, the over-the-top shock value.
Well, I didn't hear.
Does that make sense?
He used to have a show with a lot of naked girls on it, and it was a lot about sex. It's not like that at
That's
all
different.
Anymore.
That's different. That I don't know. To me, it felt different that way than the way Bubba did it.
That's true.
By the way, I don't understand what's going on with Howard and Trudy. Pardon me here, but it's a lot of female guests that I just can't believe he's that interested in. like Natalie Maines.
Who are they? I might not be interested in them.
Katy Perry. And
yeah, Katy Perry. Interested. Natalie Maines.
Not interested.
The girl. Oh, God.
Katy Perry. She's been over. Why is he having Katy Perry on?
He just had her on. Yeah. And wait, another musician. He had Cardi B on.
Weak. Well, that's funny.
Actually, she was maybe the best of a lot of them, but it seemed to me. I remember reading that one of the complaints about Joe Rogan from the left is that his guests aren't inclusive at all, which I've never heard people say that about a show, because a show is a show. It's directed at a certain audience and whatnot. Ridiculous. And I almost felt like Howard, like they're keeping track and they're trying to have the proper inclusive guest lineup.
That's weird.
It is weird to me, because Natalie Maines could.
After Marcy Turk started as the executive producer of the show, which is going back to like 2009, right around the time Artie Lang left.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody documented who the guests were, and it was 38 women and 2 guys. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys was Adam Carolla. Everyone else was no one a Howard Stern fan would want to listen to.
That's how I've felt a lot lately listening to the show. I just go on, I see the guests, and I go, no thanks. Artie Lang, by the way, where is Artie Lang? Do you you seem to know a lot of these things, Carl.
Artie Lang is nowhere. I talked to Casey Armstrong, who's friends with him, and he hasn't heard from him. Like, nobody knows where this guy is.
That's scary.
He is totally
scary.
I keep hearing that it's all good, that he's recovering, but he always puts out something. I mean, it's been since February, I think, that he's done a podcast. That's a long time. He's in court. I mean, with the COVID, wouldn't you think he'd be doing something?
He hasn't even tweeted since early April, so that's why people.
And when he did tweet, he goes, guys, it's just an anxiety thing. I'm working through it. It didn't make any sense. It's not Artie-like.
Doesn't sound good. Does not sound good. Okay, I'm going to just quickly mention a couple things, and we'll get back to Carl, because I do want to talk about Brent Hatley, who's been a big part of 2 very big shows, and he decided to do his own thing. We kicked it around a little bit the other day. But those of you who have signed up for Royal Oak Bucks by going to visit royaloak.com, and I guess you got the newsletter, and you got your $20, which is like a little credit card, go out and spend your money, because they're ready. And they're almost everyone is involved in this. It's one of the great things about the participation. You can go to Blake Pizza. You can go to The Rock on 3rd, Yoga Shelter, 515. You can go to The Dirt Label, Desert Oasis, Ale Mary's, Tom's Oyster Bar. Any of those joints. Lily's, which I love. I love their mussels. All those places will take your Royal Oak Bucks. And then, of course, the Lyft ride is $10 off to go downtown. And another $10 off going home. Just use GO2RO. Go to Royal Oak. And there's more money coming. If you didn't sign up and get any of it, it went $400,000 went like that. And there's more coming. So this program has worked really nicely. And there's also free parking if you want to drive. All their lots, all their garages are free parking through August. And we'll have more coming up on Arts Beats Inch, which, as Trudy mentioned, is canceled. But there's going to be some kind of a deal to try and help the artists, which I think is a great idea. And I wish more people were doing stuff like that. The Hall Financial Hotline I mentioned earlier, that's brought to you by David Hall and Hall Financial, who are working around the clock to help you save lots of money. And, man, they're really doing it because interest rates have just stayed so low. So if your interest rate is anywhere above like a 3.5, or you haven't refinanced in the last year, they think they can help you. So why not give them a chance by calling 248-308-5000. You might be able to skip a couple payments in addition to refinancing at a lower rate and saving tons of money. 1,700 five-star reviews from Hall Financial. Go to our webpage, click the link, and fill out the online form. They'll get back to you fast. Or go to davidhallmortgage.com/drewandmike. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention at Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435. And I'll mention Adam, too, our friends at Adam, who've been with us for a long, long time, going back to the Rift days. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system that you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326, 248-356-ADAM. And I hate to say it, but they have had a lot of business this year, unfortunately. A lot of people are just around each other too much, and maybe it brings out some more problematic stuff. And so, fortunately, business has been good for Adam. Not that they necessarily were rooting for that, but if you need help, they're there. All right, so I'm Brent Hatley.
That's fascinating. Please go on.
I did not realize.
Three people with drops now.
I know. Watch out. This is brutal. I didn't realize that Brent, was he fired? Did he leave Howard Stern? Do we know? He was executive producer, and all of a sudden, whoo, he's gone.
He says he left. The rumor is that he was let go. He had a meeting with HR. Apparently, he got into a fight with Michael Rapaport on the wrap-up show. Maybe a fist was thrown.
What?
And they decided to let him go. This is the rumor.
Wow.
Stupid.
They had a pretty big feud going on prior to this where I didn't know if it was, you know, one of those on-air things or if it was legit, but they were really taking shots at each other with Brent going after the stalking allegations, or actually I think it's true. I think he got in trouble for stalking Rapaport in the past. So he was really hitting them with that stuff. And then likewise, obviously Rapaport was hitting them pretty hard with, everybody bangs your wife. and they made songs battling each other. And it did sound like they were getting very upset with each other.
So. You know what else he said to Brent? You're not charismatic.
You're not charismatic.
This dude is fucking corny. I love Rapaport.
I like Mike too. I don't know how you can win a battle when your wife is swinging and on air talking about what great sex she's having with other people besides you. It seems like that you're just destined to lose in any kind of snaps battle back and forth, right? I mean, that's pretty
especially
tough.
Rapaport, man. That guy's brutal.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So this relationship with he and his wife, I don't know why. I know it should be exciting because they're talking about sex with other people. It's something we all maybe just are interested in hearing about. But it got really old with me, and I just cringed every time I heard her voice. I just didn't like her because she had nothing to say, and I can't figure out how can she do a show with him.
Drew, I have an example that we actually put on our show if you want to.
Yeah, sure.
Number 19. This is her talking about how sexy she is and how hot their sex is, and it's off-putting.
I do want to say this because when we were talking about that show the other day and we had pictures of her up, I'm like, well, she's not that
she isn't
bad looking. Well, but then after listening to her these podcasts and that episode and the clips, she's one of the grossest human beings I've ever fucking heard in my life. Like, just disgusting. So here's the sex talk.
But
hot lingerie. Oh, just put it that way.
God, so hot. So I open the door of this lingerie where there's like the bra is open and your boobs are open. Just hanging out.
Cool.
And like they have matching thong and stuff. And we started having sex, and we didn't have sex except to sleep a few hours here and there for like a week.
Yeah.
I actually called out of work a few days so that I could be with Brent and have sex.
Pounding.
Their levels are all over the place too. It's driving me nuts.
I'm sorry. If he's in the sex, it's gross.
Yes.
And I thought she was talking about having sex with someone else. It's always unclear with her because she's a swinger and she loves talking about having sex with anybody.
It's disgusting. And
she's not that hot. She's not that gross, but she's not that hot.
In one of the clips, did you send us the thing about something being inflamed on her? Sorry, Trudy. Did you send that one or no?
I read it on my board if you want to wait a minute.
Well, I'll just mention what she said. She said her pussy was inflamed and that she was even getting off on it more because she was being pounded so much. That it was swollen.
Oh, when she was walking, she would get horny.
Gross. And Carl correctly pointed out, how does that even work? That doesn't make any sense. Like the anatomical.
I don't even want to know if it works. I really don't. I'm like, it's gross.
What demographic does this serve? I'm curious because I'm not familiar with this podcast.
That's a great question.
You know, I think it serves people who. I think this is my guess is that Brett thinks, God, my swing in life, it's drawn all these people to Stern. I'm like, I'm like 20% of the show now, so I should do my own show and make big money. And then I was on Bubba too, and so those people all know me, so I should be a huge draw. But the problem is, he can't drive a show, and he sure can't drive it with this girl.
Yeah.
He's a one-trick pony. It's the only thing they can have to talk about is swinging and sex. And as my co-host, Andy, pointed out, it's not even details about the sex, it's just that we are banging all day. Like, okay.
Congratulations.
Even if you're into like hot sex talk, it's not hot sex talk. In fact, it's annoying sex talk. If you play track 16, they still talk like they're on terrestrial radio for some reason.
Once we finished the first time, she was like, hey, you want to fizz again?
How long did she sizz your diz before you fizzed again?
Probably about 5 minutes. Yeah. Like, she got it really,
rock hard.
Yeah.
it was explained to me because I was like, why are they saying Sizz the Diz and Fizz? Apparently, this is all Bubba talk. This is how Bubba used to talk on the show on Terrestrial.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. Do they talk about anything else? Do they talk about any entertainment, current events, pop culture?
Howard? You would think Howard would be.
That would draw some people.
Yeah.
No?
He talks about how he left the show and why he left the show, but I didn't hear anything else aside from them getting wasted and banging lots of people. That's all I heard.
Oh, here's a clip that I pulled when they did the forecast.
It appears we're left with fog, and fog is a ground-based cloud, which means you can get some drizzle for snizzle. It can happen because it's coming out of the cloud.
I like the way they do that. Same way Bubba does forecasts.
How embarrassing.
That's not. By the way, I did not say that their show was done. I think maybe you misunderstood, Drew, because we played a clip where Caitlin was saying, we wanted to leave before Howard ended his contract because everyone would be out of radio and be 80 people looking for a job in radio.
Oh, okay.
Which didn't make any sense to me because I'm like, you're not even going into radio. You went to Twitch. So what do you think?
What do we have any idea what the success level is of this show on Twitch? By can we see the number of views or that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's a miserable failure.
It is. Okay. But you know why I thought it was over? I thought you said they took a week off so he could look for a radio job. Were you kidding?
I was probably kidding. There is speculation that he had to find a 9-to-5 job because he wasn't able to pay his bills. But that could also have been just trolls fucking with him online. I don't know.
Oh, my. Well, you know, I feel bad for him in a way. He's not the first guy to leave a show and decide that, I know how to do this. But it seems like if he was going to do that, he should have done it 15 years ago.
Well, he has to have some talent.
Sure he does. I'm sure he's obviously a great producer, and I'm sure he could do a great job for the right show.
But it doesn't seem like he learned. If anything's holding him down, it's that skank.
Yes.
Yeah. He's relying too much on that skank.
And I don't know that he's a great producer, because like you said, the levels are all over the place. Impression. There's some basic.
I was thinking that, and then you said it. Just, the production value of the show is bad.
Terrible.
Fair enough.
Bad.
Wouldn't he have guest connections to have good guests on?
That was the funny part. The guy goes, are you ever going to go on Bubba's show? He's like, well, I haven't been asked. Like, you can't get on Bubba's show? You worked for him for years. Can't even get on Bubba's. It's ridiculous. Can't.
But what about all the people who've come through the Stern show and all the people who've come through Bubba's show? Wouldn't you think he'd have befriended some of those people? And they would come on his show.
The A-listers now, so there's no way they're going on his show.
And the weird thing was with Stern show sometimes is when someone's gone, they're pretty much gone and sometimes never spoken of again. I mean, what happened to Scott the Engineer? Where'd he go? He poof, disappeared.
Where's Scott the Engineer?
I do know that Howard 101 is still playing bits that have, you know, Brent's material on it, and but I think that'll get scaled back, just like you don't often hear a lot of the stuff with
Artie,
Jackie the Joke Man, and you know, occasionally you'll hear the Artie stuff, but I do think that they do a lot of edits now on their Howard 101 stuff, because I've even scrolled through Reddit where people are like, wait a minute, they took out this portion where they did an imitation, and it's like, it's one of those things, clean it up, get it PC, try not to cancel yourself.
Yeah, Brandon, they stopped talking about Artie. The guy was the most important part of the show for a decade. They pretended like he never existed. It wasn't until Sour Shoes did the spot on Artie impression they had to acknowledge that Artie had ever been on the show or that Artie Lang even exists. It's crazy how they just pretend that nothing ever happened.
I was really surprised that whole thing came out with, not that I want Howard canceled, but just looking at what people have done to get just thrown out of the entertainment world. And that thing that came out, the Ted Danson impersonation and some of the other stuff, especially with the clip in the middle of the view of him saying, oh, no, I didn't say the N-word. He said the N-word. And it was a big thud. It was a big nothing. Isn't that kind of strange?
Maybe because he's grown and learned and has had 32 out of the 34.
Well, so is everybody else who did that.
I know.
And that's where Marcy Turk comes in, too. Yeah. She's damage control.
She's a level of protection.
But
I also think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Howard Stern's off the radar. I don't think he's a big celebrity anymore. I used to, with all of my friends going to band practice, we would talk about what Howard talked about that morning for 20 minutes every day. I don't have any friends who even listen to Howard Stern anymore. There's no one who can even relate to it.
Yeah, it's definitely a little different. Is the Whack Pack still part of the show? Because that's the other thing I would think. People go, hey, you can't do that. Because these people
they're very much a part of the show. Despite COVID, they still get their calls in from them.
But he makes fun of their IQs and, I mean, all kinds of things I just would never think you could do.
Yeah, that's probably being phased down now.
It
but
seems like it.
I think that the explanation for Howard, though, is that people listen for the 3-month period when they have a new car and then stop listening after that. And wait until they have a new car again.
You're right. You're right. You're
I still right. listen. I still enjoy a lot of their bits. I love Richard and Sal. I think that those
the phony
two
phone
are
calls are really good.
Geniuses. I love their bits.
Brandon, do you pay for Sirius? Do you pay for it?
I do.
You do? And I know you do, Drew.
Yeah.
Do you, Carl?
I do. Yeah. I still have the subscription, even though I don't use it very much.
Yeah.
Maybe what do you listen to on Sirius, Carl?
Oh, I have it because of Howard Stern. But now we just listen to Yacht Talk Radio and hang out with Pool. I love that station. By the way, Brandon, the other thing that's awesome on Howard Stern is the Alex Jones impression.
Yes.
It is. Every single time. Yep.
He uses all the great
I was trying to think of that
too.
Kid's name. He is super talented. He's in the room with Sal and Richard.
Yeah.
You know what? Every time.
He does. I can tell you, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, whoever does that, I laugh my ass off with a ding, 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 ding. Have you guys heard that?
No.
Yeah, it's Arnold basically blowing a load every 20 seconds during the interview.
Yeah, it's really good.
And you hear it's like the spittoon sound effect, that ding, 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 ding. It's really funny.
That's great.
Very funny. I mean, no, there's still a lot of good things going on there.
Drew, I've been on way too long, so I apologize. Boy. I really want to talk about Morning Toast, though.
Please.
Is there any chance that we have time for
yes.
that?
Yeah, let's do a little Morning Toast.
You guys were such fans of Morning Toast when you discovered WATP, and I haven't checked them out in a while, so I wanted to check back in. Now, if you remember, these are the two millennials, Jackie and Claudia, who have a YouTube show every weekday at 10.
Good morning, millennials.
Yeah, that's the one. So I listened to the episode that came out yesterday. This is a Wednesday's episode, and it gets off to a banging start, which is number 17.
These girls have incredible vocal fry, don't they?
The worst.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy hump day. It looks like a hump day. It seems like a hump day. But it doesn't feel like a hump day because Theo is not here today, and that is on me. I apologize. I have things to do after the show and was unfortunately not able to bring my son to work today.
Oh.
But that is, you know, the life of a mom. Things are up and down
slow
all
down.
The time.
Wait, what am I missing here, Carl? Does she really bring her kid onto the podcast?
All right, so can you guys guess what she's actually talking about there?
It's going to be a little puppy, isn't it?
Oh, it's not a kid. It's a fucking dog.
Theo's a dog. Yeah, oh, she's a mommy.
What a cunt.
And that's fun.
What a cunt.
And she's apologizing.
I hate when people...
I call it a dog.
Brandon, are you... Because you're, you're a father like I am. Are you insulted by that when people like her would say something? Because I'm kind of insulted. Because having a kid is really hard.
I'm not insulted by that because I had a dog prior
What's
to having
harder,
a child.
What's harder, having a kid or a dog?
I kind of acted like that dog was my kid, too, in a sense. I didn't take the dog to work or anything like that, but...
You know what's great on a podcast?
Having brought my dog to work, my dogs, many, 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 many days, there's no comparison. A kid is so much harder than a dog.
And
come on, it's ridiculous. It's insulting.
You have never referred to it as your child. Oh, there's my child.
No. All right, let's hear some more of the Morning Toast.
You'll get a kick out of this one, Drew, because these people have been broadcasting for years. You would think
have
that
they really
would be
that long?
Broadcasting. Yeah, they've been doing it a long time.
Okay.
So this is a transition fail. This is where you want to get to the next point and you try to transition it and just drop the ball completely. 18.
Childhood is really made would be better suited for adults.
Yeah, I can say that about a lot of things, similar to camp, which is why we started Camp Toast.
Yeah, which we're not having this year, which is
a loss.
It's a loss. I've actually dreamed about it a few times.
Good dreams, man.
Good dreams. Good dreams.
Speaking of other good dreams, not really at all. Yesterday we filmed, I think, the funniest Patreon episode we've ever done.
Oh, my God.
Wow. You're not in the promoter Patreon. Speaking of dreams, it has nothing to do with this. Go give us money on Patreon.
Speaking of, but not really. I mean, speaking of is a poor transition anyway, but we all fall into that
crutchy,
trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Not anyway. It doesn't make any sense.
This is still a high-rated show, isn't it?
They get 26,000 views an episode, something like that.
But aren't they? I thought they were a top 200 Apple show.
Right. That's a good point. I'm just looking at YouTube. They're in the top 200 on
easily.
ITunes,
yeah.
Listen to that.
I don't know who likes that show. I mean, I probably could look at the reviews and people would probably rave about it, but it amazes me.
I'm dying to know what Camp Toast is, though. So something worked in that clip. I need to know everything about Camp Toast now.
I have a little bit of an insight because I was reading through the comments because I'm like, who is listening to this or watching this and enjoying it? And the thing that people kept commenting on was, oh my gosh, this one bit was so funny. I laughed my ass off. It was so good. I couldn't even clip it because it's not interesting to listen to, but they're doing advice, the advice part of the show, and they're reading these questions. And someone wrote in and said, my husband's been picking his nose and eating it. And the woman's like, oh my God, I can't even. And just her reaction, everyone was losing their minds over. So
over the
it doesn't
reaction.
Take much to entertain these people.
Wow.
God.
Play another clip and I will, I'll read a couple reviews.
Kyle, can we play the Emmy nomination one? Because that was like the one I listened to when you sent over just to make sure that I received them all. And
this
I really laughed at this because, oh, here you go.
Okay, outstanding lead actor in a drama series. Jason Bateman, Ozark. Sterling K. Brown, This Is Us. Steve Carell, The Morning Show.
First off, The Voice.
Oh, God.
The Voice. Just atrocious.
Ryan Cox, Succession. Billy Porter, Pose. Jeremy Strong, Succession.
I don't watch any of those shows, so I'm just going to go with Billy Porter because I would like to see him giving a speech as opposed to any of those other people.
That's a great reason.
I think so, too. And, like, the look he'll provide for us, it's just, it's multidimensional, the reasons why I think he should win.
Yeah.
Beyond his performance, which I'm sure was great. I never saw it.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Wow. That is just so 2020 where she wants the person to win who she would like to see give the speech because he'll probably say something very forward thinking, very PC.
I think it's the most woke of the people nominated.
Yes. Which is kind of how I feel about awards now. Aren't we giving awards to people that everyone thinks should get awards, not as opposed to what's the best? Isn't that kind of where we're going?
Yes.
But she hasn't seen any of them.
I know.
Which that's another choice.
The end of that clip is my favorite part of it because the yes anding from Jackie, she goes, I'm sure it was great. I never saw it. I agree with you there. Wait, what are you agreeing with that I'm sure it was great or that you never saw it?
It's multidimensional. What are reasons why I think
we agree with
yeah, beyond his performance, which I'm sure was great. I never saw it.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I never saw it. Yeah.
Granted.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I kind of want to try and talk like that. That's a hard voice. I'm a high
rise. Here's a couple of reviews. Listen, I know I am hilarious, and these girls have me beat with their quick wit and banter. I'm a newish listener, and I LOL at every single episode when I have no clue what they're talking about, i.e. TV recaps of shows I don't watch. They also manage to be super tactful.
Tactful.
Also manage super tactful in covering not-so-great topics, and for that, I double stan. I double stan? What does that mean?
Maybe it's an inside thing. That's what you're looking for in a discussion of a current event or something that's really hard to discuss is tact.
Maybe nowadays.
Really what the younger generation wants is tact when talking about, I don't know, Black Lives Matter, coronavirus.
Here's Becky, who's been listening to them for years and says, the more I listen to them, the more I realize they're kind of uninformed. 3 stars.
Thank you.
I listen to work
good.
Every day on my lunch break. Love all the premium content. Toast to the toast. I've been listening since the morning breath days. Oh, they were the morning breath at some point. Love the girls and their
performance, which I'm sure was great. I never saw it.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
My go-to lighthearted pod. Oh, here's a 1 star. Ooh, ow.
Ooh, ouch.
A perfect example of the stupidity you'll hear on this show is Claudia, who claims to be a number one Taylor Swift stan. Stan?
That's
Stan?
Fan. Stan? Like Stan from Eminem song.
Oh, okay. Not have a single clue who Jack Antonoff is. The most recent episode. Claudia refers to him as a sound engineer. He's produced her last 4 albums. Please don't discuss!
Oh, my God.
Which I'm sure was great. I never saw it.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I mean, I hate it and I love it at the same time. Only listen because of Bobby Bones. I followed Claudia on Instagram for a while, so it only seemed fitting. That said, the voices, I can't. But I do. I hate their voices, mainly Jackie's, but I can't stop listening. I don't know how to feel. What?
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Bobby Bones, there's another show you could review, Carl, on Who Are These Podcasts. Do you know who he is?
Who?
Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones.
Oh, yeah, I know Bobby Bones. Yeah.
He's like the biggest country guy.
He's country Seacrest.
He's like the Howard Stern of country, right? Yeah, Seacrest of country, you're right.
Right.
And he won Dancing with the Stars. And I saw him ranked really high on iTunes one day. And I was like, who are all these people that get more people than us? And so I'm cynically listening. And it's very generic, very milquetoast. But, whatever. He's 35 years old and he's a good looking guy. And I guess he's just the most.
That's what matters now.
It does matter.
Carl, can we please play number 19? Is there a setup for spray tan?
Well, I'll just say the woman who's talking is the overweight one, just so you know.
Okay. Also, maybe some of you are noticing, I'm just like looking amazing. It's because I got a spray tan for the first time since February. And man, did it feel good. Like, you know, usually you get naked in front of Anna who does our spray tans. It's like a little, you know, like I'm naked, you know. I was like, I couldn't get my robe off fast enough. I'm like, spray me. And it just felt amazing. And I missed, you know, all the things I used to not like about spray tans. Like, oh, I can't, you know, my sheets are stained. Like, I don't even care. I'm like living for the normalcy of it all.
Mm-hmm. And the smell.
Oh my God, that voice. Jeez.
By the way, this woman does not look good. Dr. Roach couldn't help this woman.
Oh, no.
Talk about how beautiful she is.
I pictured,
how much spray do they have to use? What's her name? I want to see a picture of her. What's her name again?
That one is Claudia.
Okay.
I picture really thin girls who like run around a lot and are just burn off a lot of energy because they talk so fast. I never imagined there was an endomorph in that show.
Oh, my God.
The woman, Claudia, is the one who claims to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Remember when you're baffled? Like, what kind of stand-up routine could she have?
She's the girl with no job, which is, that's really where this started, isn't it? Wasn't right. That before the podcast?
She yeah, had her mom is Pamela Geller.
Who's that? What?
I don't even know who that
from
is.
From the Louis C.K.? That
she
way, no.
Existed.
Who's Pamela Geller?
Pamela Geller is this alt-right pundit. She's done a lot of stunts. Like, she had that thing where they were drawing Prophet Muhammad down in Texas, and we're just asking for people to
where the guy did show up with a gun, right? That thing?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Well, I'd rather hear a podcast from her.
Yeah, I would too.
That sounds interesting.
Carl, does she tour and draw crowds? Would she just stand up?
Apparently. I mean, obviously not in the last 7 months, but when I was listening to her the last time we reviewed it, she was talking about, oh, the show I did last Thursday was my best show, and these people in the audience were giving me high fives, and it sounded like she's got a whole thing going on.
These are venues that have significant audience? I mean, this is a real thing? It's really strange to me.
I wish I could explain it.
That is amazing.
Okay.
I can't help you there.
Let's do one more morning toast cut, and then we'll move on.
It might be all of them, actually.
That, man.
Oh, is that
it? Yeah,
we're done. Okay,
I keep wanting more, Drew. It's what I do.
Wait, there is one really sexy clip left that he sent us.
Yeah, I mean, it was to the point where if I was cooking, he would come up and start lizzing my beaver while I was cooking.
What adult uses the word beaver?
Yeah, we went backwards for the other podcast. Friends.
This is Brent.
Friends show.
Brent. And so I'd have to turn the burner off, and we'd do it, and then I'd finish cooking, and then while we were eating, this is the same meal. Yeah. While we were eating, I would start sizzing his diz.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
Sucking his beef.
Sucking his dick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I couldn't get through a meal. His penis is so appetizing that she couldn't get through a meal.
Well, it was either Carl or it was your partner, Andy, that said something along the lines of, I think you have a problem when you can't keep food and sex separated. And I think Carl pointed out, was that problem mental illness? Such a good. And the best line of that episode, Carl, was when you called her boobs stupid.
Thank you, Mark.
Because her boobs are stupid. It's the perfect
word. They are kind of stupid. I preferred that she was hot if she was in line at 7-Eleven. She would be hot. Yeah, for a girl in line at 7-Eleven.
Keep him if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a fuck.
Thank you, Mel.
Andy's a good host, too. I like Andy.
It's a good. You guys do a great job. It's the prep is phenomenal.
And who is on this week's Who Are These Podcasts?
This week we're doing the Cuckoldress Venus podcast.
Oh, exciting.
Sounds fun.
This is a woman who tells guys who want to be cucks and just can't get their wives to do it. She explains to them how to do it. I'm
cool.
Excited about this.
Gross.
All right.
I can't wait to hear
more
that
gross sex.
Well, Carl, thank you so much. And we'll catch you the last Thursday next month if I can figure out which Thursday and date that is.
I'm glad we figured this out. By the way, I really appreciate you having me on for this segment. I promise I will never call in from a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Great. Thanks, Carl.
All right. Thanks,
we'll see you
guys.
Soon. I'll talk to you soon.
We'll see.
Damn it.
God, he's great. He does a good job.
I really liked the show this week
on Brett,
yeah.
And I don't know Brett too. That's what made it even, you know, better.
Brent.
I didn't know Brent.
I'll never get that straight. I don't want to get straight. things
he,
are getting wild.
Rob Lowe and Chris Pratt for me, though. I thought they were hot guys, and I just think there's.
But here's the thing: is Rob Lowe? This is a behavior that we see with so many of these things, and that's why it's so funny to see a guy like Carl and what he does is we see the Justin Longs, the Rob Lowes, the Chris D'Elias. They all do the same thing. It's all kind of that type of podcast where Topher Grace. I got money. I guess I'll just build something in my house.
Well, remember how upset I was because All Access had a big story about the new podcast by Busy Phillips.
Farting in the mosh pits of morning radio.
And now the show is over now.
Okay. Great show. Good job, everybody.
Great job, everyone.
You know, who are these
podcasts?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Makes no sense.